Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we find these words, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10, verse 38. This statement is very powerful, and it gives us much insight. It tells us that Jesus, in his ministry on the earth, went about with the Holy Spirit, with power, and he went about doing good to people and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The word oppressed that is used in that verse comes from a Greek word which means to exercise dominion against, or to dominate, or to exercise power over. So you could say that this statement means that Jesus went about healing people whom Satan had been exercising dominion against, whom Satan had been dominating or exercising power over. It does not require a skilled or trained eye or discernment to observe in our culture that there are many people whom Satan has been able to exercise dominion over, or to dominate, or to exercise power over. There are even people in our churches who are born-again Christians who are experiencing some level of oppression from the enemy of their soul. Don't be offended by that statement that Christians can be oppressed by the devil, because Jesus told the story in Luke 13:16 of a woman who had come into the synagogue, and he said these words in verse 16, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath?" He's referring to a woman who had physical impairment. She was literally hunched over, and the scripture says she could not straighten up. Jesus identified her as being a daughter of Abraham, a Jew, but one who loved God, one who was in the synagogue. And in his compassion, he said, shouldn't this woman who is the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? So he identified her as being one of his children. And he identified her infirmity as being the source of it, having come from Satan, who had bound her, literally brought bondage, physical bondage, into her life for an extended period of time, which Jesus identified as being 18 years. I bring this to your attention to simply make this observation. People who love God can have encountered Satan's oppression, and without the wisdom of the Lord or the understanding of the power of God and the name of Jesus, a measure of oppression could have entered their life. You may know many Christians are oppressed in several ways, and yet you know that they love God. You know that they are born again. It may be in your own life that you're experiencing some measure of oppression from the enemy of your soul. Depression, bouts of depression, are absolutely a sign of oppression from the enemy. Anger, unresolved anger, uncontrollable anger and rage is a sign that there's oppression from the enemy in that person's life. Habits that cannot be shaken, such as cigarette smoking or alcohol or drug abuse, can be absolutely traced to some oppression from the devil. God is a healing God, and he desires to heal all who are oppressed of the devil, as we see in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. That is the heart of your Father God. Jesus moved with compassion and healed all who were oppressed of the devil. Satan is the oppressor, and it's vital for us to recognize, before we have a complete understanding of how this oppression works, recognize that the source of all oppression in the world comes from Satan himself. Acts 10:38 again identifies that Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. It's the devil that is the oppressor. It is not God that brings oppression into anyone's life. Jesus is the one that came to bring life and bring it abundantly. In John 10:10, Jesus' own words identify this oppressor's work and what he's doing. He said this, "The thief comes only." So this is his purpose. He comes only to steal and kill and to destroy, to steal your joy and bring in depression. That is from the thief. To kill your hope and to kill your physical body through sickness and infirmity. That's the purpose of the enemy of your soul. To destroy your family, your emotional well-being. This, again, is the work of the enemy, Satan. Jesus identified him as a thief, and that thief comes to rob you and to oppress you and to take from you everything that God intended for you to have, joy, blessing, fruitfulness, and God desires that you take a hold of what he has for you. Satan is the oppressor. Jesus is the one who will set you free and heal you from the oppression of the devil. What does the Bible say about Satan? And do not be fearful when you hear teaching on the subject of Satan, because the Bible gives us much insight into Satan's identity, into his way of operating, and how he works, and what his strategy is against the people whom God created. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, we find that Satan is identified as the god of this world, small g, the god of this world. And yet, many people would say, no, God's in charge of the world. But the scripture corrects that thinking by saying that Satan is the god, small g, of this world. How can that be? Well, John 12:31, John 14:30, and John 16:11 also refer to Satan as the prince of this world. And Jesus himself identified Satan as the prince of this world. Ephesians 2:2 identifies Satan as the prince of the power of the air. And Luke 11 refers to the devil as Beelzebub, chief of the devils, or the translation of that name actually means dung god or lord of the flies. How is it that Satan could be the god of this world or the prince of this world? We find in scripture the origins of Satan. And Jesus himself gives us a clue in Luke 10:18 when he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." This very simple and yet cryptic phrase gives us the insight that, first of all, Satan was in heaven at one point, and secondly, that Jesus identifies that he fell from heaven. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 give us what appear to be references to the fall of Satan, saying this in Isaiah 14:12, we see these words, "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations." And in Ezekiel, we see these words, "You were anointed as a guardian cherub until wickedness was found in you, so I threw you to the earth." You find these words in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19. I've condensed them for the purpose of this teaching. But here we see some simple information that at one point Satan was in heaven until wickedness was found in him and he was thrown to the earth. And there in the earth, in the Garden of Eden, is where we see a transfer that took place that I believe brought Satan to the place where he could now be called the prince of this world. God gave Adam dominion when he was placed in the Garden of Eden. He gave him dominion. Adam and Eve, however, committed high treason in not following the words of their father God, and in doing so, in that disobedience, they exchanged their dominion for oppression. Satan was given dominion over the earth when Adam and Eve chose to obey Satan over God. And in that moment of disobedience, we see the transfer of what should have been dominion over the earth in the hands of man transferred to Satan. And so for a season, we find out that Satan became the prince of this world when God never intended for it to be that way. And yet Adam handed it over, you could say, in that moment of disobedience in the garden. But God had a plan, and God fully intends for man to have dominion in the earth. And we've been given authority in the name of Jesus over the oppressor who is Satan. But until God himself throws Satan into the lake of fire, as we see promised in Revelation, we have an adversary to deal with in this earth who's referred to by Jesus himself as the prince of this world. So we must understand that we have to recognize that the source of all oppression in the world today comes from Satan himself. But be of good cheer. God has given us authority, and he's given us the name of Jesus. And in the power of his name and the blood of Jesus, we can have dominion over Satan and the works that he intends to work in the earth. We may live temporarily in Satan's domain, so to speak, but we don't have to be under his dominion. If you're a born-again Christian, you have the name of Jesus, and in the power of that precious name, you have authority over the works of the enemy. We're going to continue talking about this week, so don't miss this program the rest of this week at the same time, and we're going to talk about how to live free from the oppression of the enemy of your soul. Until tomorrow, this is Rita Langland encouraging you. There's no wound so deep that Christ cannot heal it, no bondage so strong that Christ cannot break it, and no life so far gone that God cannot turn it around.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.